Lord God, we thank you for this time together and for this passage. We pray that you would be with us as we think about what it means for us today, particularly at the beginning of this new year. We ask that you bless us now, each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I say, it seems to have been a little while since I was here. And what happened last year? Well, in the last year, I got one of these. Not one of those. What are those? Yes, senior citizen. No comments, please. Senior citizen. Well, as over this year, I have been using the buses a whole lot more than before because they're free. Bit of a Scots heritage coming out, but they're free, so I can use the buses a lot more. And what I've found is that the form of things, as he says here, have changed anyway. Now, I'm sure John will know and will respond, will identify with this. When I was growing up and using buses at school, you always, and you would be punished very severely if you did not do this, had to let ladies get on the bus first. John's not. You let the babies get on. Well, them too. But the ladies get on the bus first. Today, when you get on, standing at the bus stop, the older ladies, they all know what to do. You ask them to get on. And they get on, and they thank me, and that's the way it is. It was. It's not quite in the Bible, but it would have been if they'd had buses then. They get on the bus, and they thank me, and that's it. Younger Kiwi women will look at me as though I've come out of another century, but they will thank me, and they will get on the bus. However, there's one group with total shockers. They're terrible. You know who they are? Young Asian women and girls, particularly those in school uniform. I invite them to get on the bus. And they refuse. They insist I get on the bus first. And unless I got on the bus first, nobody would get on the bus and we'd be there all the time. And things have changed since I was at school and growing up. And the former things have changed. And the things that I knew back then have changed considerably. So that was one of the changes over the year. Another disappointment, I suppose, would be the year before we went to North Korea and took some money for a bakery. And, of course, things looked really quite bright then. But that's all fallen apart. And the funding for that bakery has fallen apart since then too. And so that's one of the disappointments of last year. The people in this passage, I think, probably felt in chapter 42, I should say, are feeling quite disappointed and down because they feel that God is somewhere but where, they don't know. And they feel that the God has disappointed them. They feel that God is lacking. He's not there. He has left them and abandoned them. As chapter 43 begins, you find that God, in fact, says, no, that's not the case. And he kind of praises himself in a sense. And he uses words like, I am the Redeemer, Holy One, Lord, Creator, King, and slightly earlier, Savior. And he uses those words to remind the people of who he is. And so as we come to 2020, we come, and I think you should remember those kind of words about who God is. God states, I am your Redeemer. I am your Creator, King, Savior, and Lord. Now, those are significant words. Those words are actually words that relate to people. Now, if I were to come to you and say, I am a genius, I am a grandmaster, I am TC, Top Cat, I am Top Dog, TD, that would not do anything for you because those are praising myself. And so when God praises himself, or as it so appears, he's actually doing so in relationship to us. If I say I'm a genius, that's actually kind of putting me down because that's saying you're not a genius. But these are all relational words. And the word here, the key word he starts with is Redeemer. He is the one who redeems us. He redeems us from the desert in this particular passage. And he says at the end of the passage, the beginning of this little section, I am your Redeemer and so on. And he says at the end, you are my people. you are my people. And packed in between is a discussion about where his people are and how they relate to him and where they are in this in their walk and journey with God himself. Now, one of the words I really want us to focus on, and just remember as we start this year, those little words called prepositions. What is a preposition? Can somebody name me a preposition? It, and, on, beyond, through, and so on. And the key one here is through. I will lead you through the wilderness, through the desert, through the wastelands. And that implies movement. Not in the wasteland. I will be with you in the wasteland. He is saying, I will lead you through. And that comes through any number of times, quite a number of times in this passage. God will lead us through the desert and the tough times of 2020. And in this leading through, this business of leading through, that of course implies movement. It implies that we are going somewhere. We start from somewhere and we go somewhere. That we're going through something. And that may well be a tough time. However, it goes from one part of a tough time through that tough time into somewhere else, into a new place. And in this place that he's talking about here, the key motif in this idea in this passage is that of water and what the role that water plays. And he creates water where there was none. Now, one of the interesting things here is that he says in verse 17, do you not perceive it? He uses the word perceive rather than see it. And the word perceive here is actually really important because to perceive something means that you have to look for it. I can see you right now. I don't have to look for you. You're right here. To perceive something is to try and perceive perhaps. Or think. What are you thinking? Who's asleep? Who's got eyes closed? In which case, I perceive something about how you're reacting to my talk or my speech. You're dead asleep. Or if you're looking at me, you may still be asleep, but not really taking it in. So I have to sort of try and think about what it means, what you're doing, what you're thinking. I can just see you. That's easy. Perceive is not so easy. And what Isaiah is talking about is here, how do we perceive and understand what God is doing in 2020? How will we understand where he's leading us? What does it mean to walk through the wilderness and the desolation of 2020? And also the good things. Let's not just focus on the bad things. The good things as well, as God leads us through this time. So one of the challenges and one of the resolutions, New Year's resolutions might be, is not just to see things, but to think about what is actually happening in the thing that you see. And what are people actually thinking and feeling and perceiving themselves? Or what are their experiences? That's part of the challenge that he is offering us here. And that is part of the new thing, to perceive, to see what is actually happening around us and to understand it. Now, one of the things in this passage that the people hadn't understood is that God had already acted and that the old things were already passing away. And there's quite a nice little contrast in Isaiah. He's actually a very good writer. He's a, knows about writing. He's a good writer and he's a very good writer in that he understands how to write and how to use literary imagery. And one of the things back in chapter 34, and verses 10 and 11, I won't bother reading it, but he talks there about the screech owl and the desert owl. And they were living in wasteland. And he uses the idea that Moab is the measuring line of chaos. And the desert of Moab is the plumb line of desolation. In other words, they couldn't live in a worse place. The owls could not live a worse place, and he's painted them as a very negative, in a very negative place, and the birds themselves were understood to be very negative animals, in contrast to us. We often think of owls as good. They thought them as bad because they lived in a bad place, and you know, Isaiah says there, they built their nests there and actually made their homes in chaos and desolation. And the owl was at home in the midst of chaos and desolation, even though it was the worst possible place to live. In chapter 43, however, it is reversed around. Streams of water are now flowing through the desert. That desolation and that chaos has now become a place which is full of water. And they says there that the owls honour God. The owls honour God. In other words, the owls now live in a place of beauty, in a place of fullness, in a place that is great to live, in a place where they know that they have their chicks. Their nest is in a good place. And the result is they honour God. So in honouring God, what does honour mean? It means to be grateful too. And the idea that an owl is grateful to God and honours God for this new place in which to live, this place of beauty, this place of fullness, this place of water and life. And so the owl there is grateful to God, honours God. And the contrast is with people. Do we really honour people, honour God? Are we grateful? Are we grateful for 2020 and all that it will bring? And so this picture of change from desolation and chaos into a place that is wonderful to live, a place where God has blessed them, is the picture of the owl who now has changed from being a bad connotation to being a bird which honours and is grateful to God himself. Now, of course, we think of owls. How do we think of owls? What is an owl? Do you like owls? Is it a good bird? Now, this is another thing about the Bible. We've got to actually put aside our perceptions about birds. In the Bible, the owl is a bad creature because it's a creature of the night. It's a creature that attacks the sheep and lambs. So the owl is actually a bad animal, a bad bird, and it deserves to live in the desolation and the chaos. That's what an owl is. In Kiwi culture, Western culture particularly, what is an owl? Is it a good bird? It's perceived as a wise bird. And who was the wisest animal in the Winnie the Pooh stories? Owl. Why was he? What was one thing about him that made him really wise? He knew how to spell which day of the week. He was considered wise because he could spell the word Tuesday. He was he was considered wise, and he was the one that Christopher Robin and Pooh Bear and Piglet went to in order to find out what they should do or how to overcome particular problems. And you can read the stories. You know the stories. And so in Western culture, the owl is considered a good bird and a wise bird. So, but in the Bible here, let's just put aside our own understanding, our perception, and perceive what the Bible is saying. And the Bible is saying it's a bad bird. But that bad bird is blessed by God and honored by God. And so part of the story is to say, no matter who you are, you too can be blessed by God. And we, as a response, we honor him and are grateful to him. Not because we deserve it, and not because we are good birds, but precisely because we're bad birds. We're bad, we have done bad things, but we are forgiven, we are redeemed. And that's how Isaiah starts this passage. I want to show you a little clip about owls. Can we just have the clip now? Oh, before you do, we went to Scotland, Alison and I. Alison's here somewhere. We went to Scotland. I hope she still is. Anyway, oh, yes. We went to Scotland, and these two of these birds were there. Now, the peregrine falcon is the fastest bird in the world. It can fly up to 200 kilometres an hour, and it flies with precision and accuracy to catch the whatever on the ground, and it can get the mouse. The owl flies far slower, but we'll see now what the result of that is.
Good girl. Oh, jeez. Mo.
And now, it's Kenza's turn.
No, nothing at all. Absolutely quiet.
It's amazing.
But what have the microphones picked up? The decibel waveforms show the sound being generated by the birds in flight. Each spike is an individual wing beat. But with the barn owl, there's almost nothing. Yeah. Even our array of super-sensitive microphones fail to pick up any sound of Kenza in flight.
And here's the owl doing exactly the same. Nothing. Nothing at all. I'll play it again.
It'll do. Okay. So, what does that tell us? Why does the owl make no noise? Who are the aeronautical engineers among us? Anyone know? Huh? Well, yeah, that's the result. How does it not fly, make any noise? Is it? Why does it not make any noise? Partly true. Yes, he's gliding. He's not actually flying at all. He's gliding. And where the owl glides along, and what he's actually doing is actually resting on the air. And it's amazing that Marty used Augustine's great phrase, "My soul is restless until it rests in thee." And what the owl is actually doing is resting on the air, and the air provides the lift. It just glides along because of the length of its wings is and balance with its body. So the owl makes no noise because it's gliding, not flying. And it's not making no effort, it's moving, but it's actually not flying. It's actually gliding for that period that you see there. And so the microphones don't pick anything up because it's not actually flying, it's gliding. And it's the air, it's the lift that gives it the power to move along. And what Augustine is referring to, and what Isaiah is referring to, is that God provides us the lift. We are gliding on God, if I can put it that way. We are gliding on God, and we're resting on God. He gives us the lift. He takes us along as we fly. But we're also flying through the air. Again, that preposition. We are flying through the air, so to speak. And so God here is really the one who provides the lift, the one who provides us with the energy to fly through, glide through the 2020. That does not mean, unfortunately to say, we just rest in the normal sense of the word rest. We have to lift, we have to throw ourselves off that perch into the air, and with a net vision and with a direction and a precision. In Scotland, I remember the trainer of the owls would go behind somebody's head and put up the meat like that. They would hold it up like that, right? And what do you think happened? It is actually didn't happen for us, but it was actually really quite amazing to see this bird coming right at you, right? No noise, and take that little bit of meat or whatever it was he's after, like just like that. And the fact there was no noise and it was coming straight at you required a certain amount of, I think, courage for those who got unfortunately picked to be the guinea pig, so to speak, who would take part in this little demonstration. But the precision and the direction and the accuracy of the owl was quite amazing. And of course, he also has what in terms of eyesight? What is his eyesight? Who's got, as is this year, 20/20 vision, right? He has, in fact, he doesn't have 20/20 vision. He has more. What he finds is and peregrine falcons the same. They can't focus close down. They can focus much further. So it's something like 60/60. But he's got 20/20 vision because he can see perfectly and he can aim perfectly and direct himself perfectly towards the subject or whatever it is he's trying to wherever he's going. And so what you've got here and what we need for this year now is 20/20 vision. And how do we get 20/20 vision? 20/20 vision comes from what Marty was saying, really, the spiritual discipline of simply reading through the scriptures and understanding what they're saying, perceiving the meaning in it, not just seeing what's there and being able to quote it. Anyone can quote scripture, but perceiving what is actually being said in that piece of scripture and perceiving what Isaiah meant in this piece of scripture or any other piece or what God is saying to us through that. Seeing and perceiving are two different things. So too is putting past the old things. And in the Bible, of course, God did a lot of great things in the Old Testament prior to Isaiah. And he tapped a rock. Moses tapped the rock and water flowed out. Those are great things. Those are the sort of things you'd sort of want to remember, you know, if they happened to you. But strangely enough, God said here, hey, that's great, but forget it. Forget about that. Better things are coming. It's even going to be better. It's going to focus on the future. Draw courage from that, but focus on the future and look forward. And because it's going to be even better than it was in the past. So what you've got in this passage are a number of things that could help us, I think, make some really quite good New Year's resolutions. And one is to remember that we are redeemed. It doesn't matter who we are or what we are. We can make a new start this year. Just as the owl was redeemed and given a whole new start and a whole new place to make his nest and her nest. And that new start is something for which the owl honored God and was grateful. So one of our New Year's resolutions might simply be grateful for every person we meet. Everything that happens, be grateful. The great Russian writer Dostoevsky, Fyodor Nikolaevich Dostoevsky, wrote or said, we should not call people homo sapiens. What does homo sapiens mean in Latin? That's the name for the scientific classification of humans is homo sapiens. Wise men. We shouldn't call people or classify them as wise people because they haven't shown too much of that, right? We as people, as humans, do not show too much wisdom, so to call us homo sapiens is a bit wrong. So he suggested something else. He suggested homo ingratiens. What is homo ingratiens? The ungrateful being. Because what we have shown and can get over and shouldn't be is ungrateful. And so but we are ungrateful. Unlike the owls, we are ungrateful. And so the resolution for this year might be to be grateful for all that God gives us and shows us during the year. The other thing I think is to perceive, to make a New Year's resolution to see, not only see, but to perceive where God is working in our lives and the others, the people around us, and to be grateful for them. And so for John, just to pick on John, to be grateful for the new people who come to YWCA and to perceive who they are, where they come from, and to understand them and to love them. That might be John's, just giving you a New Year's resolution there, John. But he's been doing that all these years anyway. But, that could be something in his context to pick up on. And down here, I think, too, we see right through this passage, God saying to us, you can start a new thing, and each one of you will have a new thing to start and to take up. And just in to conclude, really, there is another, just to go back to Owl and Winnie the Pooh stories. And he showed, I think, what God is showing here to us is hospitality. And one of the things that Owl would say to Pooh and those who came along was, come and sign. We'll see if tea and buns can make the world a better place. Come and sign. We'll see if tea and buns can make the world a better place. And what Owl is talking about there is just good old straight hospitality. People around us. Let's invite people to come to church, to Bible study, to home, and show them hospitality, give them tea and buns, and see by doing that we can make the world a better place. And so God here is saying, but through hospitality, through gratitude, through responding to the good things that God gives us, we can make the world a better place. And then verse 21, the church is formed by God himself, for himself, to proclaim God and to enjoy him forever. The world is formed by God himself, for God himself. Again, the prepositions. By God, it's not our church. For God, it's his church. Why? To enjoy God, which is, again, in the first statements there, he's the Holy One, the Lord. We are to enjoy God, enjoy him forever. And doing that, we will serve him, and we will be able to change our world and make it a better place by perceiving all the good things that come through him and from him. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you for all that you have given us in the past year. We thank you for all that 2019 held, and the good things and the tough times, the challenges, the opportunities that you were able to take for all the people we met. And we know that 2020 will again be a time in which you bless us and give us new opportunities. Help us to perceive those opportunities. Help us to be grateful for everyone who comes to us and with whom we interact. Help us to offer them hospitality and to share our world with them. Help us to remember that we share the world with animals like owls, and help us to work to preserve their habitat and their lives, and so that we may enjoy them as well, your creation. Because you have said in this passage that you are indeed our creator and their creator. And so we come now to thank you for all of this. And we ask this, that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.